Let's get back to the drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200. Now, it's time for Need to Know Basis.
Welcome back to the drive, Lever Stage. Chris Stevenson with you at the CTC. Matt Connors, Vita back at 87 George Street in the market. A lot going on today, and first, it's a game day. 5 o'clock, the pregame, 7 o'clock, drop of the puck. It's the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Ottawa Senators, and looks like Matt Sogard will be the goaltender. He was in the starter's end today, and while Jacob Chychrun didn't skate this morning, Coach DJ Smith said that the pairing of Chychrun and Chabot would see significant time here tonight. Big challenge against the Tampa Bay Lightning again, 7 o'clock start here on TSN 1200. Tyler Cleven signed today by the Ottawa Senators to a 3-year entry-level deal. And to talk more about Tyler Cleven, we'll have Brad Schlossman, writes for the University, about the University of North Dakota. He'll join us in about 6 or 7 minutes from now to shed a little bit more light on Tyler Cleven. There's a flurry of games tonight in the National Hockey League. Toronto in Florida is a big one for the Panthers. Seattle's in Nashville. The Rangers visit Carolina. St. Louis in Detroit. Pittsburgh in Dallas is a big one for the Penguins after they beat Colorado. Vegas in Calgary. And Winnipeg visits Anaheim. So some races starting to get pretty busy. Kerry Anderson fell to Japan today, 6-5. And that was in a tie for third. She's got 2 games tomorrow at the Women's World Curling Championships and see if she can get things done tomorrow to get herself top 6, make the playoffs. We have March Madness continuing tonight and some great games at Michigan State, Kansas State, Arkansas, UConn, FAU, Tennessee, and the big one for a lot of people, Gonzaga and UCLA tonight at 9:45. And Chris, in golf, it is a tough day for Canadians. Corey Connors lost 1 up. Cameron Young beat him 16 and 17. Cameron Young won holes and beat Corey Connors at the World Match Play Championships.
Great match.
Canadians having a tough time. Mackenzie Hughes is the only Canadian right now that's leading. He was 5 up through 7 on Shane Lowry, but now is 3 up through 12. Nick Taylor's 3 down to Brian Harman through 7. Adam Svensson 1 down to Colin Morikawa. Good event, though.
Yes. How do you feel about the match play? Like, match play has always been scorned on the PGA Tour, for the most part, because the formats that they had before, you could have a whole bunch of your big-name favorites eliminated in the early going, and by the time you get to the end of it, And match play brings out different qualities in different players. So it's not out of the question. A guy like Kevin Kisner, who's a really decent PGA Tour player, but he really rises in match play. But I'd argue Kevin Kisner is not going to move the needle a lot for casual golf fans who see, it's a Kevin Kisner Maverick McNealy final. So that's always been one of the knocks on match play on the PGA Tour, is that by the time you got to the weekend, a lot of your big names could be home. I like this format where they've adopted the pool play, where players are around for a while. You got to play 3 matches to decide who's moving on. So at least for a good chunk of the tournament, even if one of your big names has lost a match, he's still got the opportunity to be on TV. So. Yeah. I like this format, and I like seeing them play something different than just your typical 72 hole. And I think as we see golf going through some really, really fundamental changes now, many of them wrought by the arrival of LIV Golf on the scene, that I hope we would see more imaginative tournaments in the future. They're going to have a men's and women's event. And there's going to be some pretty good competition among the Canadian guys to see who's going to play with Brooke Henderson. I see them on social media saying, over here. Yep, over here. So I'd like to see them introduce some more team events. I'd love to see some team events where they play 6-6-6, alternate shot, two-man scramble. Mix it up.
We'll talk more about that. Brad Schlossman writes for the Grand Forks Herald and will tell us a little bit more about Tyler Cleven when we come back on The Drive on TSN 1200.
Let's get back to The Drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200.
Welcome back to The Drive here on TSN 1200. It is Lever Sage. Chris Stevenson in today. Matt Consvita back at the studio, 87 George Street in the Market. And while it is the Sens game day, lots of other Sens news, including the three-year entry-level deal for Tyler Cleven, signing with the Ottawa Senators, and to talk more about that and everything when it comes to North Dakota. He's our guy, Brad Schlossman from the Grand Forks Herald, and has an inside track here to, I love the title of your, welcome Brad to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. From North Dakota to Ottawa the last 5 years, Christian Molanin, Jacob Bernard Docker, Shane Pinto, Jake Sanderson, and now Tyler Cleven. You've been busy, Brad. How are you?
I have been busy. I'm doing well.
We appreciate the fact that you're taking some time to be able to join us. Look, when college kids come in, I don't think there is a ton of expectation, but now that we have North Dakota and we just got the one-way pass here to Ottawa with all these guys coming in, including Jake Sanderson, maybe some more expectations on it. Tell us a little bit about Tyler Cleven and the type of defenseman that he was. Was he under Jake Sanderson's shadow maybe a little bit, and did he come out of that this year?
Yeah, you know, Tyler and Jake are completely different style players. I think the first thing people recognize when they see Tyler is his size and physicality. He's 6'5". There aren't too many players in the game that can throw game-changing hits, that can absolutely blow up players and take them off their skates, and Cleven has that attribute. And so that's what jumps out, and everyone will talk about that. But Tyler Cleven, to me, his game is so much more than that. And I think that kind of overshadows his other attributes. He can skate. He can move a puck. He has one of the hardest shots of any player I've covered in 18 years covering North Dakota. He can one-time a puck. You know, that's a skill set that he really developed over the last year. Even he ended up putting him in the right circle on the power play. He's a left shot, and that's what their second power play unit was, trying to get him one-timers. And even he won a couple of games because Cleven scored on one-timers late in the third on a power play. So he really has an intriguing skill set. I think the thing for the Senators is he's far from a finished product still. He has come a long way in the last 12 months. It was a great year for his development. Offensively, I think he's just scratching the surface of where he can get to. So to me, when I watch him, I think Ottawa has to look at that, have that in mind when they have plans for Tyler Cleven. I would not put him in a strictly defensive role and just assume all he can do is go hit people. Like, his ceiling is so much higher than that. And I think, I honestly don't know where it's going to top out at. I don't know where he's going to get to, but that part is kind of exciting for Ottawa because he's still going up. He's some guys that leave college, they kind of are what they are, and you know what they're going to be. I have no idea what Tyler Cleven's going to be, and that's got to be really exciting for Ottawa, and that's something they have to keep in mind when he goes there, to try to keep developing him so they can pull everything they can out of his game.
One of the big discussions here in Ottawa is how stacked the Ottawa defense seems to be getting on the left side now. Can he play the right side? That's the discussion now when you talk about any defenseman here on the left side, is can he play the right side?
Yeah, you know, he did do some playing on the right side here at, you know, him and Jake Sanderson both did in college. They both had some stints where they would play on the right side. I think that's probably something Cleven will look at and that he will be able to do. The other thing that goes into your head thinking of him on the right side is that leaves his shot open for one-timers there, too. Mm-hmm. And that's a skill set he definitely has. So it'll be interesting to see how they use him and how he develops there.
So from all reports, and you know, Ian Mendez, who used to work on the station, now writes for The Athletic, get down there a little bit, talking the other day with us, Brad, about how some people grew up and they want to be National Hockey League stars. And from 5 years old, that's what they want to be. Tyler Cleven grew up wanting to play with North Dakota and be a part of this team and maybe not even the National Hockey League because this was his dream to play at the University of North Dakota. How big of a decision was it for him to leave? Was he considering going back?
Yeah, I think everyone knew when he came back for his junior year that this was going to be it. You know, that being said, I think the night UND played their last home game this year, I think that was tough on him. I think he knew that was going to be it for him. And as exciting as it is to go play in the National Hockey League, as you said, he's also closing a door in a chapter that, you know, he dreamed of playing at North Dakota. And, you know, I do think that it's not easy to say goodbye to a place that means a lot to you, and that this place definitely meant a lot to Tyler Cleven. So while I don't think there was a thought that really that he was going to come back for another year, you know, it's not always easy to when that time comes to say goodbye.
The coach was on the station and told the guys in the morning show that he believes he's NHL ready at this point. You seem to think he's going to maybe require a little bit more seasoning. How far away do you think he is from really challenging for a spot on this team?
Well, I think he can challenge for a spot. I just think that, you know, he's still growing, and that has to be kept in mind. If he does have some time in Belleville, I think he should be put in offensive situations to try to develop that, to, you know, maybe be a power play guy. So it'll be interesting to see him compete. I mean, he can play a shutdown D role. One interesting thing, too, is he got a lot of major penalties here because he's bigger and stronger than everyone else.
Yep.
And when you get a game misconduct in college, when you get three of them, you automatically get suspended for the next game. So he got suspended because he had a third one. Then he got a fourth one, so he got automatically suspended again. And at that point, it was basically like he had to take hitting out of his game. And after he took hitting out of his game, he was still the best defenseman on the ice almost every single night. So I think that tells you like that he has so much more to his game than just big hits. And so that's where I think, you know, whether in Belleville, there at least I think has to be a recognition, and I think there is. If you know, listening to the way Pierre Dorion talked about him, you don't talk about a career stay at home third pick D man the way Pierre Dorion talked about Tyler Cleven. But you know, I think he has a lot of potential to be a really big piece to Ottawa's future, and it'll be interesting to see him develop into that.
Brad Schlossman joining us here on The Drive, college hockey reporter for the Grand Forks Herald and covers the University of North Dakota. Tyler Cleven signing a contract with Ottawa today. When I asked you if he was, you know, in the shadow of Jake Sanderson, let's just talk about the aspect of, you know, what Jake meant to the team and, you know, the leadership qualities that Tyler Cleven maybe, like, did he grow into some leadership qualities with the fact that Sanderson left? How did he evolve with the team after Sanderson was gone?
Yeah, it's always kind of funny to me in college. That's one of the interesting parts about covering college hockey is watching guys grow from their freshman year to their junior and senior years. And, you know, leadership role is definitely one of them. Some guys, you know, like Jake come in and, you know, and Jake Sanderson is, there aren't many Jake Sandersons out there. I mean, he's kind of a unicorn. There just aren't too many guys like that that come through. But definitely, I think guys, it's a pretty tradition in college hockey that you see guys come in as freshmen that, you know, maybe are quiet, shy, keep to themselves a little bit, and they really grow into leadership roles. And Tyler definitely did in his 3 years at North Dakota.
The most important question now, with the pipeline looking like it's going to be dry now between the Senators and the UND, are you going to be able to hang on to all your Twitter followers in Ottawa?
I don't know. They might. It's going to be kind of funny, though. Like, the last few years, it's been all of Ottawa following North Dakota. And now the tables have turned. North Dakota people are going to be following Ottawa here now. So
yeah.
We kind of knew this was coming. And, you know, it's been fun to watch Shane Pinto and Jake Sanderson do what I think everyone in North Dakota thought they would do at the NHL level. And now it'll be Tyler Cleven's turn. And, for fans watching Cleven, like I said, he's not a finished product. So what you see at the end of this season is not what he's going to be in 2 to 3 years. So I think that's going to be something that's really fun to watch as he continues to grow. And same with Sanderson and Pinto. Those guys are going to continue to grow as well.
Mm. You had the opportunity to watch Jake Sanderson's development. And, you know, we're pushing here in Ottawa for him to be in the Calder Trophy conversation. Unfortunately, he plays such an understated, almost elegant game that I don't know if enough people really appreciate how good he's been outside of Ottawa. Are you surprised at all that he's been able to have the huge impact that he's had? He's their best defenseman as a rookie on the blue line. Are you surprised at all, like, how quickly he's evolved?
I'm really not. I said a couple of years ago that he might be the best player I've seen come through North Dakota in my time covering the team. And I realize that's a loaded statement because I covered Jonathan Toews when he came here. But Jake was as dominant as Jonathan Toews, probably more dominant than Jonathan Toews. He's just, like I said, you just don't see guys like that too often. I think you're spot on when you say he's kind of effortless out there. He skates so well, makes good decisions. His offensive game is still growing. He's going to be even better next year offensively than he already is this year, which is incredible to think about. He defends really well, off the ice, great guy as well. So, you know, I'm really not. I realized how good he was when he was in college. And, he's going to be in the NHL for a long, long time.
Brad, when you cover athletes at the level that you do, I think sometimes we expect that when kids come out of college that they're absolutely ready to play right away because they went the college route, as opposed to junior hockey in this country. I find it fascinating to listen to you and understanding that, you know, kids and players developing at a different rate, and that's okay, right? The Jake Sanderson's a unicorn, and Tyler Cleven comes out, and it's okay if he needs a year in the American Hockey League because he might be, you know, on the precipice of even understanding what he's all about. So what is it like covering players and trying to get an understanding of whether you think that they're ready or not, because not every player obviously is.
Yeah, you know, I think the longer I've covered teams, the more you kind of get an idea of which guys are going to translate and at what pace they're going to translate. And you see their development at college from year to year. You can kind of tell guys who are growing exponentially. I think of, like, Brock Nelson for the New York Islanders was a guy who came in and his growth was just rapid. And Brock Nelson played an entire year in the American League after he left. And now look what he is. I think every guy's path is different. And I think that's something that, you have to account for. And, you know, I think you asked about Tyler Cleven being in Sanderson's shadow. They're just such different players. I think you look at them as completely different guys. And they have different paths. You know, Cleven did not leave when Sanderson did last year. And I think that was a really great decision for him. He got put in a ton of situations this year, a lot of offense situations. And the offense that's coming out of this game right now, I think, is going to serve him really well for his pro career.
Brad Schlossman, from the Grand Forks Herald covering the University of North Dakota. Tyler Clevin knows him really well. We do appreciate your time. We look forward to hopefully the pipeline continuing between UND, the NODAC Sens, with the Ottawa Senators. But appreciate the time, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
There goes Brad Schlossman on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, kind of wearing out there at the end, the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. That's okay. All the way to North Dakota. On the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators, you can find Brad Schlossman at SchlossmanGF, Grand Forks. Covers them all the time, and some great insight you can read from Brad Schlossman. You were mentioning before, Chris, he's one of those go-to guys, especially with Ottawa fans, and now maybe people in North Dakota will be following what the Senators are doing.
Yeah. No, he was a very, an indispensable resource when it came to following what was going on.
Right.
With all those Senators draft picks in North Dakota.
All right, we'll take a break. A little bit behind here, Matt Conesvita with another look at your traffic and weather as we're more than halfway through. We've got the pregame show coming up at 5 o'clock. The puck drops at 7. The Ottawa Senators hosting the Tampa Bay Lightning here on TSN 1200.
Let's get back to the drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200.
Welcome back to the drive, Lever Sage. Chris Stevenson with you from the CTC. Matt Conesvita back at 87 George Street in the market. Sens game day. Tyler Clevin signs a 3-year entry-level deal with the team. And the mayor was on the morning show talking about the new group and meeting with Gary Bettman and Bill Daly on Monday and some of the things that he had to say. And it, I know I was listening to Steve and Graham as we came in, and they had a fascinating conversation on what if the rink moved downtown, Chris, what this facility would be. And Mark Sutcliffe earlier today, the mayor, said that you never know whether it's economic or economic, but one of those two
data,
terms.
Data.
Yeah. But a driver, and this would not just be left, the CTC, right, and what it would turn into. And their discussion turned into what it could be here. And like, there's just so many different ways of going about this. I want to go back, though, to your discussion on what the downtown might look like coming up in the next 10 or 20 years. And are we being realistic when we think that putting a downtown rink will revitalize everything because everyone will be downtown and, you know, people who work down there and you'll go down there and you have bars and restaurants and people will live and it'll just be this vibrance across the entire city. Is that realistic?
Well, I'm sure it's a philosophical discussion that urban planners are having every day now. Billions of dollars, you know, being maybe gambled is too strong a word, but trying to figure out, is this piece of land worth buying in the downtown core, and how do we develop it? And is there going to be a demand for a 50-story condo development downtown? And I just think there's so many unknowns right now, particularly in our city, just because so many of the downtown workers are linked to the federal government, and that negotiation is going on right now. So to me right now, it's fascinating because there's so many unknowns about where this is going and what are downtowns going to look like, particularly a downtown in a federal capital that is dependent on so many government employees coming downtown to give downtown its life, to give it its, you know, its economic being. Going out at lunch to buy lunch at places downtown, or drinks after work, gyms, everything. So to me, that's the first question that needs to be answered, and I don't know if anybody can definitively answer it at this point. But I think it's particularly apropos for for Ottawa, because so much of it does depend on a negotiation between the government and its employees. It's not going to be like an organic thing that it might be in a whole bunch of other cities where it's like, okay, well, we'll let you work at home, but you need to come in to work for 2 days in other cities. And it's, you know, in the private sector, and it's up to the private sector to decide what's going on. The government and the unions, obviously by extension their employees, are going to they are going to decide what Ottawa's downtown is going to be like. And I don't think anybody could sit here right now and tell us what exactly the outcome of that is.
It's just unique to our city.
Right. And I think that that's why it's an important part of the conversation about where should a, I'll use air quotes, downtown rink be located. Now, personally, I think the benefit of a more I'll say not necessarily downtown, but a more centrally located rink. And I can remember, you know, reading all kinds of, you know, fundamentals of urban development and all that stuff when they were building the rink out here, the rink in which we sit now. That one of the fundamental flaws of choosing one end of a city over the other is that your traffic patterns, and we see this all the time here, everybody's pretty much going in the same direction when they go to the rink and the same direction when they leave. And ideally, you like to have a more centrally located facility where your traffic patterns are divided into east and west, so that not everybody's coming from the same direction to get to the rink and is not going in the same direction to leave it, that it's split 50-50, which alleviates a lot of your your traffic pattern issues that we've seen forever here at Canadian Tire Center. So when I look at it, I think definitely, I don't know if downtown is the answer. More centrally located is I think the important thing here.
Yeah, and I think when you look at where, let's say the place to be in Ottawa, but you know, at one point it was the Byward Market, and at one point it was Elgin Street. It seems to be Lansdowne. I mean, Mark Sutcliffe was talking about, you know, his stepdaughter, 23 years old, and I would agree with a lot of the 20-somethings, go to Lansdowne now. Yeah. And be in that area. It's kind of the spot to be. And that's moved in Ottawa a few times. That doesn't move in other cities as much sometimes as it's moved in Ottawa. And I think if you put it back at LeBreton Flats, you certainly could make that area a spot for a while. But would it fundamentally, over the course of multiple decades, be what you want it to be to make the city a better city?
Right.
And there are just so, AJ was talking about flights in and out yesterday and the growth of flights. And I think you don't think about that stuff sometimes, but people are coming to Ottawa and getting out of Ottawa. Is it accessible with the Queensway? Well, if you put it in LeBreton Flats, not really. So if you're driving to the game, it's a little bit more difficult to get there than it is for transit.
But it's going to be, you know, much better in terms of our urban transit with the LRT and moving people in and out. I can remember as a kid in Montreal going to Expos games and taking the subway to go to the Big O. Mm-hmm. Very similar situation to here, like the Big O. From downtown Montreal, might as well have been Kanata and downtown Ottawa. And you know, the game changer for that was having the subway that would go right to the stadium and then back downtown. So I think just in terms of moving people and accessibility, central location, LeBreton Flats makes a lot of sense. From those, I'm not buying the revitalizing downtown, and I just think from the fundamental night after night, game after game, experience is going to be better with a rink at LeBreton Flats than it's going to be out here in Canada. People are going to be able to get in and get out easier, whichever way they choose to do that. So from that standpoint alone, I think that's a big advantage that LeBreton has. And it might also, and that's not unique to LeBreton. You're hearing these other Herdman Station and other places coming up, the RCMP, the older RCMP headquarters. You're hearing all these other places come up. And I don't mind the idea of those places either, because it's going to be so much easier to get in and get out with a more centrally located rink.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and you make a lot of sense. But there are some people that actually, I know you're talking about getting in and getting out. Lansdowne's not the easiest place to get in and get out of. People are still going. Why are they going? Because it's the place to be now, and they've built it up with a number of different things that people are talking about would be at LeBreton. So I understand the getting in and the getting out part's a big deal, and I'm not ignoring that, but I'll also tell you that a lot of people go to Lansdowne. It is not the easiest place to get to, right? On a Red Blacks game day, on a 67s game day, it's kind of right in the middle of a whole bunch of stuff and not the easiest place to get to, but people are still going. They're going because they like being there.
And I go to just about all of the Red Blacks games. And frankly, even coming from Midtown, my experience going to Red Blacks games, getting there and getting out, is way better than the experience of coming all the way out here to go to a game.
But that's my point, that it's not the greatest place to get in and out of, and it's still okay.
Right, because it's centrally located, in my opinion.
Right, so then it doesn't have to be the greatest place in the world simply to get in and out of for it to be the right place for the team to be long-term and for growth in the area and for the revitalization, you can call it, or making it another destination for people to go in the city that people can be proud of. And I tell this story all the time, and I'll tell it again. When my mother came to town the first time when I started working here, she was regaling me with being in Ottawa in the 80s and Ottawa Rough Riders, and it was a big thing with the Grey Cup parties and everything else, because a couple of members of my family who didn't love the Argonauts, they loved Ottawa, including my mother and my uncle. They loved the Ottawa Rough Riders, maybe just because they weren't the Toronto Argonauts.
Right.
Same thing in hockey, right? But
it's like my grandmother, the ABC fan. Anybody but the Canadians.
Right. So they remember what it was like coming here. And I remember the first time that she came here when I started working, and it was, you know, the Renegades had already come and gone by the time she got here, and the stadium was there. And yeah, the University of Ottawa played there a couple times, and it turned into just a dilapidated old structure that I was embarrassed to take first-time people to the city by. I was embarrassed. Condemned stands, nothing happening in the area, beautiful canal, and look what it is now.
A lot of pavement. Remember those days?
Oh, do I ever. Yeah. But look what it is now. Yeah. Look what it's done for our city. And that gets into the next discussion of whether the city should help pay for it and how much people will be asked, if they're asked, and who's going to be the owners, and how much are they going to ask people to help pay for this. But I do think that there's at least some benefit to having, it's okay to have nice things in your city. And Lansdowne has turned into a really nice place in the city. Not the only nice place in the city, but it's another really nice place in the city where I'm not kind of shielding my mother's eyes as we drive by in the canal going, don't look over there because it's not what it used to be.
Yeah.
So it'd be great to have LeBreton Flats, that area, turned into something.
Still my number one choice.
Yeah.
But I also understand nobody who might be building a rink in this town coming out and talking in definitive terms about where they would like the rink to be. That's just negotiating.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yep. All right, we'll take a break. Come back, get a 580 CFRA news update, and get into the third hour. We'll talk a little bit more about what Pierre Dorion had to say today about Tyler Cleven, about kind of the rest of the team, some of the injuries, and you know where they're going. We don't have to beat Tampa tonight if they're going to go anywhere. 7 o'clock, drop of the puck here at the CTC, the Tampa Bay Lightning, and the Ottawa Senators on TSN 1200.